One of the very first thing, talking about us standing in the place of miracles or having miracles, our part in a miracle showing up. One of the very first miraculous things that we read about in the Word of God is in the book of Genesis chapter 1. Today we're going to be talking about the miracle in your mouth. Now I love this topic. I love this because over a period of time, I've had some revelation from the Word of God, how our words direct our life. And when you realize that, there's just certain things you stop saying. There's just certain things you stop saying, and there's certain things you on purpose begin to say. Why? Because your words have miracle power. Now, in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2, it says this. It says, the earth was without form. Now, if you were to look deeper into what that means, it means it was formless. It was a place of confusion, emptiness. It was a wasteland, a place of chaos. So in the beginning, the earth was a place of chaos, formless, place of confusion, empty. It was a wasteland. And then it says, and it was void. Again, it re-echoes, it was empty and a waste. It says, darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. So there was chaos, emptiness, formlessness. It was a waste. Looks a lot like some of the things we're experiencing, right? Like, I can look in the world I'm in. There's a lot of things I look at and go, man, there's chaos here. Talking to the right people? Man, this place, it just feels like this is just, what I'm experiencing is just so much emptiness and brokenness and strife and chaos. It's formless. It's void. But notice what happens here. It was all those things until God spoke. Until God opened his mouth and started declaring things, it was a place of complete chaos. It says here in Genesis 1:3, God spoke, let there be light, and there was. It was chaos until God spoke. I want that to sink in a little bit. It was chaos until God spoke. It was without form. It was useless. There was no good there until God spoke. Romans 4, verse number 17, talks about God as the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that are not. I want to read that again. Romans 4:17 talks about God being the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that are not. The New Living says this: Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Hebrews 11:3 says this: by faith we understand that the universe, the beauty of the universe, the galaxies, the place where they're constantly, I mean, all of these scientific things that are coming out now about galaxies beyond galaxies and beauty beyond beauty and the vastness of the universe, right? It says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen, it wasn't even made out of what was visible. Psalms 33:6 says this. David writes, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Now, I like this because the Hebrew word breath there means Holy Spirit inspired, life-giving, miracle-working power. The breath of God is not just like your neighbor's breath you're sitting next to. And you're like, dear Lord, can they have a mint? No, it's not like your neighbor's breath. It's not just like you blowing on something. The breath of God, when God declared his word, it says it was a Holy Spirit-inspired, life-giving, miracle-working power that was spoken. And when he declared it, something miraculous happened. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 27, not very far in the chapter, only down to verse number 27, it says that God created human beings in his own image. The Bible says that we as humanity were created in God's likeness, meaning just how he was able to speak and give direction to his world, he's given us as humanity, when we open our mouth and we speak, we give direction to our world. That's an awesome thing when we realize that the creator of the universe has created me in his likeness and given me the same ability to speak Holy Spirit-inspired, life-giving, miraculous, working, powerful words into my environment and see miraculous things happen. That's a pretty powerful thing, right? But I think most of the time, when we see chaos in our world, we obsess over the darkness instead of speaking light or what we want to see into it. If we were looking at the chaos of that moment, we'd probably say, geez, what am I supposed to do with this darkness? This feels gross. It's so dark, I can't even see my hand in front of my face. This feels really creepy. This is awful. I don't have much to work with. I can't do it with nothing. I have nothing to work with. How can I create something beautiful with absolutely nothing to work with? In fact, it's not that I have nothing to work with. I feel like there's so much against me to work with. It's working. This darkness is working against me. I think a lot of times in speaking into our chaos, we talk about our chaos. Do you ever find yourself doing this? I know I have. You find yourself starting to feel symptoms in your body. Man, I got a scratchy throat. Oh. Man, what comes out of your mouth? Man, I think I'm catching something. Ooh, I think I'm catching something. I feel gross. I feel awful. Man, my head feels terrible. Gosh, I wonder what I have this time. Well, I know I was hanging out. Those darn grandkids. They started school. They bring home all their germs. They were sniffling. I knew it was going to be my turn. Man, I knew I was going to be sick. I should not have planned the trip for next weekend. Now I'm not going to be able to go to church, you know, for 2 weeks because I got a sore throat today, right? What comes, I know it's because we're all, have you all not done that? I know I have. I'll just confess the Cherie Hand confession right now because I have found myself doing that. I have found myself in the middle of physical chaos, physical body chaos or symptoms, talking about how I feel and the chaos and the pain and the ache and what I think it is. And you all know how I feel about Google searching because we're all dead today if we Google search anything we feel. No matter if it's a hangnail on your toe or, you know, your eyes twitching, you're all dead. So, you know, we all find ourselves just saying what is. We all have done that physically. Maybe our money gets funny, right? Man, inflation, I cannot survive in this economy. If this guy, this girl gets in the White House, there's no way I'm going to survive financially. Eggs are already expensive. I'm not paying $5 per. I'm going to get my own chicken, right? I know y'all got your own chickens, so you don't have to pay for eggs, right? And we all, you know, we're saying stuff like, I just live paycheck to paycheck. You know, my company's just struggling. It's just the way it is. Chaos happens. We talk about the chaos. We just talk about what's going on in our world. We all have a tendency to do that. Our marriage is stressful. You know, we're not quite getting along. It's not marital bliss. You know, it's like, I don't know. I could say a lot of things there. But so then what do we start saying? You know, we don't call the best out of the person. We think, I married the wrong person. I hate you. You were wrong for me. My mom said I never should marry you. I should have listened. Whatever the things we say, right? You leave your stuff all around. You're never going to change. You don't know how I feel. You never know how I feel. You always were this way, right? Am I saying that with too much passion? Whew. My We say dumb things. We start saying, I'm better alone. I'm better by myself. I can do this without you. You're no help anyways. My friends, they get to do what they want. Don't have to answer anything to their husbands. Nope. We don't speak life into our chaos. Nope. Nope. We don't usually speak life into our chaos. We just like to ramble on and on and on about the chaos. Talk about why there's so much chaos and who caused it to be so chaotic. You're the reason why my life is chaos. You. You're the tornado I met, and you are the chaos. But there's answers, y'all. In order for there to be miracles in our world, there has to start being miracles in our mouth. In order for there to be miracles in our world, there has to be miracles in our mouth. There has to be miracles in our mouth. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5, God shows up to Jeremiah and he says, I knew you before I formed you in your mom's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart to do amazing things. I add some of that. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah looks back at God when God's saying all this amazing things he's going to do with Jeremiah's life. Jeremiah says, oh, Lord God, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young. You must go wherever I send you. Say whatever I tell you. Don't be afraid of the people. I'll be with you, protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth. And he said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. The first thing that needed to happen was Jeremiah's vocabulary needed to change. In order for the chaos in your world to cease, the first thing that needs to happen is your vocabulary needs to change. My vocabulary needs to change. I need to stop saying some things and I need to start saying new things in order for the chaos to stop in your life. Now, I could go around the room and say, anybody experiencing chaos? In this moment, I would probably say that 100% of us would raise our hand, because if it's not kid chaos, family chaos, marital chaos, business chaos, coworker chaos, neighbors, dog chaos, there's chaos somewhere in our world. And if we're going to ever see the chaos end in our world, it has to stop with a change in our vocabulary first. Gotta get your mouth right first. I gotta get my mouth right first. Let's all say that. Say, I gotta get my mouth right first. Let's say it again, all one sentence. I gotta get my mouth right first. I gotta get my mouth right first. In order for the chaos to end in my world, I gotta get my mouth right first. Because then it goes on to say in verse number 10 with this conversation he's having with Jeremiah. He says, today, I appoint you over nations. I appoint you over kingdoms. This is what you're going to do. You're going to uproot. You're going to tear down. You're going to destroy. You're going to overthrow. You're also going to build and you're going to plant. How is that going to happen? By the words of Jeremiah's mouth. You build up, you tear down. You overthrow, you grow. By the words of your mouth. That's why. In order to see the chaos end in our world, we have to change our vocabulary first. Our words have to change first. So how does that all happen? By the declaration of my words from my mouth. How does chaos end in your life? By the declaration of your words from your mouth. You're responsible for your own chaos and how you handle it. If we're going to just keep talking about it and see it manifest continually in our life, or we're going to stand and speak life into it, because it will only change by the declaration of the words from your mouth. My chaos changes by the declaration of the words from my mouth, our mouth. Proverbs 18, verse number 20. It says a person's belly will be filled with the fruit of his mouth. With what his lips produce will he be filled. Verse 21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it eat its fruit. The Message says it this way. Words kill, words give life. Words are either poison or fruit. You choose. You got more power in your position than you realize this morning. You have more power in your situation than you realize this morning. You have more power and ability to bring life, peace, order to the chaos than you realize this morning. But I'm believing the word of God is giving light to us, wisdom to us. And when we grab it, we can use it, and we're going to start seeing change in our life. So life and death, they're in the power of your tongue. They're in the power of my tongue. And the Bible says we eat the fruit of our lips, meaning this, that our words grow things. So if we want to see miracles in our life, it starts with our mouth. Job 22, verse number 28 says this. You will declare a thing. You will declare a thing. You'll speak a thing. And it will be established for you. You will declare a thing or speak a thing, and it will be established for you. If you say it, sow it, it will grow. When you say it, you sow it. When you sow it, it grows. When you say it, you sow it. And when you sow it, it grows. So our words are seed. And we sow words by saying words. Say this. Say, I sow words by saying words. I sow words by saying words. So when I say it, I sow it. Your words are seed. We sow words by saying words. Most words we sow by default. We ramble. We talk. We talk nonsense half the time. We just let our mouth fly. If we would ever stop and take account for what we're saying, we'd realize why our life is the mess that it's in. If we would take account of our words. Have you ever watched a video of yourself talking or a video of yourself? Not on purpose, because we're all good when the camera's turned on, right? When you know you're on video, you straighten up. Oh, hi. You know, you see these little kids throwing a fit on the floor, and you put a camera up, and they get up like, huh, you know, like nothing. Like, I'm good. I'm always good, right? We do the same thing. If there's a camera in our face, oh, I can talk right. I'll treat my spouse right. I treat my family right. You know, I'm like, hey, sometimes this happens when we have to do videos, like to promo videos for things. I'm not as much of a perfectionist probably as my husband is. He's more structured, likes it all said right. So he'll be like, take it again. Let's do it again. Let's do it again, right? Let's do it again. He wants to get it right. Me, I'm like, that was good enough. Like, why do we have to do it again? Like, and so then it's like action, and I'm already frustrated because I'm doing it like the 10th time, right? And I'm like, frustrated. Like, why do we have to do it again? It's like 3, 2, 1. I'm like, hey, everybody. Yeah, honey. Yes. You're awesome. Yeah. And then when we're done going, seriously, can we be done now? Because we're all good on camera. But have you ever watched yourself randomly when the camera comes by and you hear what you're saying? And you're like talking nonsense. And you're like, ooh, I sounded horrible. Man, my tone was awful. I really talk to my kids like that? Ooh, that's scary, right? Because we usually, our words that we speak are just, there's no filter. Some of y'all are proud you don't have a filter. Some of y'all need a filter. If you're not, you don't have a filter on your, y'all get yourself in big, big trouble that you kind of deserve. So don't be mad about it when... Word to the wise. All right. So it takes effort to sow the right kind of word seed. That's the point I'm trying to make. It takes effort. You have to on purpose sow the right kind of word seed, because we normally, just by nature, just by just, it takes no effort at all. We usually talk about what is, the trouble, how you feel, the problem, what you're going through. And it's usually all the negative things, right? So we therefore keep harvesting the chaos and the trouble and the strife and the drama and all the things that we really don't want showing up in our life. We really don't on purpose, most of the time, sow seed for miracles. We don't usually on purpose sow seed for financial gain or life into our home or our spouse or our kids, our family, our workplace, our government, our life, the city we live in. We don't usually on purpose sow life seed. We usually talk about what is. And the reason why we don't is because it takes more effort. You have to, like, on purpose think before you speak. You have to on purpose guard your mouth. You have to on purpose, you know, determine what you want it to look like. I have told, you know, similar stories like this. You know, I don't profess to be a gardener or good with living plants at all, right? In fact, most of the plants that I have owned in the past live and die because I basically don't water them. For one thing. And I just don't, you know, so I started naming my plants people. It's true. You name them people, you'll take better care of them. Don't name them people's names that you don't like or don't care about or wish they were dead. Name them people that, you know, you do love and you do like, because you'll nurture them. There's just something about it. But I decided one year, because I love tulips. I think they're just really, really pretty. So I decided one year I was going to plant tulips in my yard. Now, to plant tulips, anybody ever plant tulips or any kind of bulb kind of plant? Yeah? Okay. If not, it's a process, right? You got to plan ahead. To get a tulip to come up in the spring, you have to plant it in the fall. That makes absolutely no sense to me because I like more immediate gratification, not something I have to wait for, right? So I decide I'm going to plant tulips in my yard. So you go out and you get this little thing, or you just dig it with, you know, with a little tiny shovel, and you dig deep, you plant the bulb, you cover it up. So much time passes, you almost forget it's there because it's just there. But in the springtime, up pops this most beautiful tulip, beautiful flower, most beautiful. But it's one tulip per bulb. That's a lot of effort. If you want a bunch of tulips, that means I got to dig 12 holes if I'm going to have a whole dozen. And they, one at a time, grow up. A lot of effort for the beauty of the flower. It's a lot of effort. So next year, I ain't doing that again. I'm not doing that again. I decide I'm going to sow wildflowers. Wildflowers, if it says wildflowers on the bag, that is deceiving. It's also known as weeds, beautiful weeds. So if you ever see the bag of wildflowers, want to sow them in your yard, don't. Wildflowers, super easy. You get a handful, you throw it. They pop up within days. You water them, you got the beauty of flowers for days until they start taking over everything. Every other living thing, they will kill, right? So I planted them. Didn't want to go through the effort. Wildflowers, glorified weeds. This is what I found out. The weed was still a seed. And this is what happens when we're randomly talking, we're sowing weeds. When you're randomly talking, not speaking on purpose, you're sowing weeds. That's why you feel like your life is, it's choking out everything else. This is what I found out about a weed. Weeds grow faster than flowers or plants. Y'all can attest to this. You know, in your garden, every week you have to go out and pull a stinking weed. And you're thankful you have kids because you can now go get out there and pull those weeds. They grow faster than any other flower. Weeds can grow in any kind of condition. You spit it out, it'll grow. Now think about this in correlation or like your words, okay? Think about it related to words. They can survive in a variety of any kind of situation. Weeds. Weeds survive anywhere. Weeds have a quick life cycle. And their job is to spread and sprout quickly. How can seeds of deception that we speak, or maybe irritations or lies or frustrations, doesn't it seem like those seeds just sprout up so quick? As opposed to, man, I'm declaring the word of God in an area and it seems like it's taken a little bit of while. It's taken a little while. It's because cheap seed grows fast. Expensive seed might take time. Weeds compete with the flowers or the good seed. They take all the nutrients away from the good seed. They grab the resources before the other plants can. That's why your words are so important, because if you just speak words, those are the words that grow up so fast. You'll see the effects of it tomorrow. You cuss your boss out today, you'll be looking for a new job tomorrow. Why? Because that seed grows quickly. Weeds can have established root systems underground. Wow. Which gives them access to water, makes it easier for new weeds to sprout. So we harvest what we sow or plant. I can't expect tulips when I'm sowing seeds of weeds or chaos. I can't expect a miracle of peace in my home or in my marriage when I'm sowing strife or selfishness or anger or frustration. I can't expect a miracle of extreme resources, financial increase in my life, when I'm sowing lack and frustration, disobedience, and even a lack of discipline in my life. I can't expect healing in my body if all I'm sowing or repeating is how I feel, what I see, or how bad it's going to get. I can't expect life in my children if all I think about and talk about is all the chaos they're causing and the crazy things they're doing. Ezekiel chapter 37 will end with this. Can my situation change? Can your situation change? Because I know, you know, many of you, many of us, I'll put myself in there, we're up against what we look at like in the natural, it looks like it's pretty chaotic. There's a lot of chaos right there. But as we read through this real quick, I want you to take notice of the powerful change that can happen. Ezekiel chapter 37, can my situation change? This is a prophetic vision that God gave to Ezekiel. It said, the Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. Say dead things. Yeah, dead things, lifeless things. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor, and they were scattered everywhere across the ground. They were completely dried out, meaning it's been that way for a very long time. So God asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? Is there hope for this situation? Do you think life can come to this again? Ezekiel said, sovereign Lord, only you know the answer to that. I'm going to ask you this morning. In the chaos, maybe the financial chaos you're experiencing this morning, can it be fixed? Can it turn around? Your marriage that looks like it's just completely over, just so far gone, like there's really no hope whatsoever in your mind. Can restoration come to it? Do you think God can turn ugly things into beautiful things? Your business where you felt like you worked so hard for and it's there no more, do you think God still has purpose for your life? Can there be life again? In your body physically, I know all the doctor's reports and how dead you are according to it. But do you think change can come to it? You think life can come to that? It says, then he said to me, God said, speak a prophetic message to these bones. And this is what I want you to say. Dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I'm going to put breath in you, and I'm going to make you live again. I'm going to put flesh and muscle on you and cover you with skin. Sorry. There's something so powerful here. I got a little too much in the story because I'm believing God for my own things. Just like you are. I have to apply the word just like you do. Sorry. I am not sorry. I'm really not sorry. I lied. I'm not sorry at all. This is just so powerful because I know that there are people in this room experiencing the same thing. Your issue is not my issue. Your issue is way different, but it's deep like mine. Yeah. There's been a lot. There's been a lot in your life that it seems like there's a lot of things that have piled up that just don't. Man, if you could wish it different and you could, man, you know, fight for it different, it would be different. But this is our answer this morning, telling you. He says to me, speak a prophetic message to the bones, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am going to put breath in you, make you live again. I'm going to put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I'll put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel says, so I stepped up. And I didn't look at the bones and go, this is hopeless. This is hopeless. Gosh, why me? Why me? Why do I have to be the one that does this? He says, so then I spoke this message just like he told me to. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. I love this part. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. As I watched, muscle and flesh formed on the bones. The skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. And then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds. Breathe into these bodies that they might live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life, stood up on their feet, a great army. I'm telling you, just by this word spoken today, in your situation, we're going to declare some things. We're going to declare some things. Yours might be financial. Yours might be relational. Yours might be emotional. Yours might be physical. Yours might just be, man, you can't even pinpoint it. It seems there all of the above. We're going to open our mouth and we're going to declare some things because we're not going to just talk about chaos anymore. We're going to open our mouth. We're going to start declaring the word of the Lord, and what God said shall come to pass. It will turn around. It will turn around. But we have a part to play. We've got to start changing our mouth. Now, before we enter into some declarations, I want to give anybody who has not received Jesus an opportunity to receive him first, because I want you a part of this declaration. So if you would just bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're in this room and you don't know Jesus, maybe you've just, you know, you knew him at one time, but just life happened. And you just, you know, got frustrated. Maybe you started talking the chaos and the chaos just took you down into a deeper pit. And you realize that. And you need Jesus this morning. You need life change this morning. I want to give you an opportunity to open your heart and let him move in. That then he can give you the ability to declare, open your mouth and declare his word, and he backs it up. And the breath of God, the miraculous power of God, can be declared then through you as believers in Christ Jesus. If that's you this morning and you want to raise your hand and say, you know what, I need Jesus this morning. I'm not serving him. I need to receive him today. While no one's looking, I just want to know who I'm praying for. Can you raise your hand really high in this place? Yeah. Yeah. Many in here. Many in here. Yep. You can go ahead and put your hand down. The Bible says the way you receive salvation is through your words. Your words connected to your heart. Your words connected to what you believe. And today we are going to declare some words together, opening our heart to the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. The Bible says when we call, open our mouth and call on the name of the Lord. Salvation, God shows up into our life. Let's all pray this together. Father God, thank you for Jesus. I repent for living my life my way. I surrender my life to you. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he did die on the cross for me. Today, I open my heart to him. Today, I walk new. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Can we all stand in this place? You know, when it comes to words, and when it comes really to this message, it's not like, all of you dealing with financial issues, come forward and let me lay my hands on you. That's not the application to this message. All of you dealing with relational issues, come forward, let me pray for you. That's not how we're applying this message. The application to this message comes from words out of your mouth. The application for this message comes from words out of my mouth. I'm dealing with things, you're dealing with things. I have chaos in my world, you have chaos in your world. And so we're just going to open our mouth and declare some things. I'm going to declare some things. You open your mouth, you can declare some things as well. I'm going to pray generally. If I'm talking about your thing, you open your mouth and declare the same thing. I believe that, you know, God's in this room. We're going to set some things in order. Father, we declare that you are faithful, and we declare that you are good. Lord, I thank you for being and giving us the ability to open our mouth and to declare life into every situation. Can our situation change? God, we say yes. Can our situation change? God, we say yes. And today we take the responsibility to speak life into every dark place. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare bodies to line up with the truth of the Word of God. I declare by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I declare by the stripes of Jesus, I am whole. I declare that I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Every sickness and every disease bows its knee in Jesus' name. I declare I walk healthy and I walk strong. I declare I'm healthy. I declare I'm strong. I declare my mind thinks clearly. I declare I walk in peace. I declare there's no anxiety that can torment my life. I declare I walk satisfied, complete, whole, God, in you. God, I declare that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and I treat it correctly. I declare that I walk in truth and integrity and character. God, I speak over my family. My family is healthy and whole. God, I believe that you're working unity and peace, nothing missing, nothing broken. God, you're bringing about forgiveness and wholeness and life. I declare that my family prospers in every area. God, I declare that my family serves you with a whole heart and is strong and loves you. God, I declare over my marriage is healthy. What God God has joined together, we will not separate. I declare that we walk in love with one another. We walk in forgiveness with one another. I declare that our house is blessed. The Spirit of God lives in my home. I declare that my children are taught by you. Great shall be the peace of my children. I declare that my kids are established in righteousness. God, they're far from oppression, for they shall not fear, and they don't walk in terror, and it will not come near them. God, I declare that our families are strong and healthy and whole in Jesus' name. God, I declare, God, over finances, that we walk in your favor and your blessing. God, I declare that we have more than enough for every good work. God, I declare that I am a tither. I am a giver. I am a with the resources that you put in my hand. Therefore, I will see the goodness of the Lord right here, right now in my money. Doesn't matter who's in office, I will prosper in every way, every day. God, I declare, God, in this house, we have good jobs. God, every person who walks in their place of employment, God, we get raises. We walk to the top. Every place we set our foot, we take territory and we conquer. God, we take possession of land and territories and properties. God, we do that in Jesus' name. God, I declare that we're the head and not the tail. We don't fall apart the way the world falls apart. God, we're strong and we're secure and we're confident and we're bold and we take over territory and our minds are sound. We walk in victory because you are faithful and you are good. God, we declare that our tongue, the word of God. We speak truth only. We speak truth only, and we speak peace into every chaotic situation. God, I say, let there be light. Let there be a revelation of Jesus Christ in our marriage. Let there be a revelation of Jesus Christ in our workplace. Let there be a revelation of Jesus Christ in our home. Let there be a revelation of Jesus Christ in our bodies. God, let there be a revelation of Jesus Christ in this city. Let there be a revelation of Christ in this valley. God, let there be a revelation of Jesus Christ, God, in the state of California. God, we do not quit on our state. We stand. We speak life into it. We declare we shall see the goodness of the Lord. Do y'all agree with that? Now listen, this is your homework. This is your homework. This is your homework. Because you're going to get home and the dirty dishes are going to be there. The husband's going to be on the couch flipping channels. I have a great marriage, by the way, and I'm not saying marriage things because of him. Thought I had to, you know, because sometimes when a preacher talks, it's, you know, their own thing. But listen, it's up to you. It's up to you. You're going to go back into your workplace and your coworker's still going to be burning her incense in the cubicle next to you. And you're like, what in the world? And instead of talking the frustration on purpose, sow the seed you want to see grow. Some of you, if you're all you're talking about, my the place I work, so ungodly, man, they're always, it's awful. Why not walk in there and go, this is a holy place. This is an anointed place. The Spirit of God dwells here. I'm a light in this dark place. My coworkers are coming to the revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ. I am making a difference. I promise you, the word is true. You start sowing seeds of what you want to see. You shall see the seeds of the word of God come to pass in your life. For you to see miracles in the middle of the chaos, there have to be miracles first start in your mouth. Y'all get that?
Thanks for listening. If this impacted you and you'd like to partner with us, go to celebrationchurch.cc/give to help us reach people with the message of Jesus.